Midtown Detroit's traffic jam and snug restaurant has remained as an extremely popular dining destination and an industry trendsetter for more than 50 years. Homemade is the rule here, and the in-house bakery's pies, cookies, cakes, and exotic breads keep locals coming back for more. Traffic Jam and Snug is also known for their in-house dairy that produces artisan cheeses. The in-house brewery is the home of Michigan's oldest licensed brew pub, licensed back in 1992, decades before microbrew pubs became the rage. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in Midtown Detroit at Traffic Jam and Snug for a visit with the general manager, Stephen Gross, and the vivacious brewmaster, Chelsea Piner, for the backstory about the exact reasons why Traffic Jam and Snug has remained a success for the past 50 years. Stephen also shares his perceptions and feelings about life in the Midtown neighborhood and dispels myths about life in Detroit.
Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun.
Stephen Gross in Detroit, Michigan. Whereabouts exactly are we?
Pretty much in the center of Midtown, just south of Wayne State and just north of downtown.
All right, so in the heart of town.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is kind of old town, too. As I look around, I see that's 100 year plus, probably 120
most
years old.
This is what most of the neighborhood actually looked like back in the day. And this whole entire neighborhood was in the 60s and 70s called the Cass Corridor, which is where all the hippies would hang out and all the young artists would hang out as we were going to school, as we were starting their life as young artists. Unfortunately, a lot of the neighborhood has lost that charm, but we were able to save one or two streets with all the old buildings.
Is that because there was that period of economic decline?
I would say, yeah.
This is my first day in Detroit, first morning. I'm going, wow, I'm just kind of saucer-eyed at seeing this vitality and this energy.
I would agree. I think it's unfortunate that Detroit still gets so much bad press. And everyone that doesn't live in Michigan, even people that live in Michigan, you know, everyone that doesn't live in Metro Detroit still thinks of Detroit as a very terrible place to live, lots of crime, lots of, you know, bad stuff happening. But I can tell any of my friends from any other state, just come here, I'll give you a tour, I'll show you that Detroit is revitalized and it's going progressive and good things are happening. And this has been happening for 10, 15 years. People still have this stigmatism that all of Detroit is bad. But, you know, guess what? There's bad parts of New York. There's bad parts of Chicago. There's bad parts of L.A. You know, for some reason, Detroit just got stuck with the stigmatism.
And I think for myself, looking in from the outside, what I know about Detroit is from the media, from national news coverage. And you see the bombed out, abandoned neighborhoods.
Right.
That's what they show you. So that's what I thought was still happening here.
I mean, this neighborhood, let's see, I've been down here for 22 years. You know, 22 years ago, yeah, the neighborhood was a little bit more run down. But, you know, for the past 10 years, my bosses have been investing in the community, investing in the neighborhood, and it's really turned around. The husband and wife that own this restaurant also own several apartment buildings in the neighborhood and a couple of bars, and they and another couple of families have spearheaded the revitalization of this neighborhood.
Let's talk about the business here that you've been involved in for the last, 22 years?
Yep. This is our 51st anniversary as a restaurant. We are Michigan's first brew pub, and we got our brew license in 1992.
Very first in the state.
Very first in the state.
And, that's really cool.
Every state has really weird prohibition laws. So you weren't able to brew in-house and serve in-house. And so we were the first people that went to Congress and said, these are prohibition laws, prohibition's over, let's change these laws, let's allow us to be able to brew in-house and actually serve in-house.
Going way back in time, that's the ancient days in the microbrew world, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean,
but this wasn't a trend or a fad when they did this.
It was really looking towards the future. It was seeing, you know, what is going to happen in the future. Microbreweries are going to be the next big thing. Farm to table, even though I don't really like that word. We try and do as much as we can here. Cue in the rooftop garden, cue in. We have a bakery, we make our own cheese, we make our own ice cream, we make our own beer. If we can make it here, we're going to make it here. And we've been doing that for, you know, 40 years. And now everyone's caught on the bandwagon, everyone else wants to do everything in-house. And it's just, my bosses have literally been on the forefront of trying to be so innovative and trying to do anything they can to take the next step in restaurant and beer crafting and cheese making.
Why? That's just who they are as people.
It really is. I think that they're crazy overachievers. They just like, they don't I'm not even sure if they sleep. They just like to do. They don't stop. They keep on moving 24 hours a day. They're literally an inspiration to so many people because they're constantly trying to figure out the next thing to do.
I noticed having lunch here today that just perusing your menu, there's very much a local regional ethnicity to it. It's a metaphor for the roots of Detroit and Michigan, true?
I can agree with that. You know, it's Detroit is based on manufacturing and building it here and keeping it here. Like I said before, we try and order everything from Detroit. If we can get it local, if we can get it from a local grown farm, we're going to do that. That's just who we are. There's all these amazing local mom-and-pop farmers doing urban farming, and why not support them?
It's weird, as you're talking, and I'm looking over your shoulder, and it looks like an urban farm on the corner,
It is an urban farm on the corner.
Wow. Yep.
And everyone in the neighborhood gets to rent a spot every year, and it's a beautiful community effort. Everyone has a big feast at the end of the season. And
very touching. Let's talk a little bit more about your food and what somebody would experience here. And what, like, I had the pot roast, and it was like mama made it. Literally.
I think we do a good job of keeping traditional staples on the menu, and then the other 75% is, let's see what we can create with the homegrown ingredients. Let's take a burger and make it not a burger. Let's take a crepe and make it not a crepe. Let's take a salad and make it something a little bit more.
There's playfulness then.
Exactly. That way people can have their traditional staples. They can get a burger if they want to. But if they want some sort of adaptation on what a normal burger would be, we're going to do it. We're going to try it. And, you know, sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes you fail. But most of the time, you know, we have a good staff making the food that we can hit it pretty okay. I would say after 51 years, you would think we would get bored and old with it, but we're constantly trying to push the envelope. We're constantly trying to see what we can do next and how we can be innovative and how we can keep on going for another 51 years.
Let's talk beer for a moment.
Yeah. Back in the early 90s, the beer movement was just starting out. So everyone just made IPAs, stouts, porters, and pilsners. And then over the last, let's say, 10 to 15 years, the hops movement really blew up. And so you're able to make all these new and creative flavors using different flavors of hops and different varieties of hops. You know, there used to be, you know, 10 staples. Now you can get 50 staples. And that really accentuates all the different flavors, you know, for the hops of the beer. And that's actually Chelsea, the head brewer right there.
Oh, cool. Can we have Chelsea come over?
Do you want to say hi?
Very cool.
This is Chelsea. She is the master brewer.
Hi, how are you? I'm Chelsea.
Hi. So you're Chelsea, last name?
My name is Chelsea Piner. I'm the head brewer here at the Traffic Jam.
P-I-N-E-R?
Yes.
How did you become a brewmaster, a beer person?
Well, I started, about 10 years ago as a bartender for breweries. You know, starting off, I'm just going to college doing that. Didn't expect that's where my path would lead me.
Was that your first real introduction to beer and beers?
Yeah, before that, my friends and I would get a case of whatever crappy beer. You know, we didn't care. And
Miller High Life.
Yeah, exactly. Miller Light was what it was, embarrassing to say. And I just learned more and more about it, and I just had a natural talent for it. So worked in front of house for quite some time, lived in San Diego, worked for some really great breweries out that way, made my way back home and stumbled upon an internship that opened up, or an apprenticeship rather, I should say.
And what year was this?
That was this year. So I've been
for
approaching a year.
And you're now head brewmaster.
Yeah, it happened quickly.
Yeah. I love it. You're ruling the world.
One day, hopefully. Yeah. That's my plan.
So tell us about your personal passion. What are you trying to communicate through your beer making?
Well, the thing that I love about craft beer is I think it's a generational thing, for sure. And I think it's very focused on being community-oriented, being sustainable. I think that's a really big thing, you know, and which is great about the Traffic Jam. We grow a lot of our own stuff here. We recycle our grain in the city. I bring it to an urban farm. I make dog treats out of what else I don't use. So just finding a way to use everything you can and being a big hub in the community, I think, is a huge thing. And it's just a different scene than when you go to some bars that are, let's get shots and let's, you know, the craft beer scene is just so different, and people consider it an art and they're very, very interested in it, you know, so there's just so much to learn. You can never learn it all. I mean, that would just be impossible, but it's just a group of really great people. And I do like that no matter how high you move up in a brewery, you can look how you want, you can be yourself. It's just such a laid back group of accepting people, and that just drew me right to it.
I love it. Let's talk about flavors and what you're communicating and what sort of beers you're making.
Well, I'm trying to do things a little different. You know, I don't care for doing something just for the sake of being outrageous or, you know, pushing the envelope. It's great to do so if you do it well. So right now I've got a few things on. I've got a raspberry ale. We put 170 pounds of pureed raspberries in it. So it's got some tart sweetness. We added some honey, and that's just going to be a really great springtime beer. The patio's opening up. Sit outside and enjoy one. So I try to have something for everyone. A few lighter style beers. We have a 10% black IPA that I'm going to finish up today. So that's going to be for the kind of more heavy beer drinkers or someone that's looking for something a little bit more bold. But
like from Guinness that you can chew on.
Yeah, definitely. This is one of the most bold styles that you can make. So it's definitely, it's such an American craft brew style too. You don't see it in a lot of other places in the world. And 10 years ago, people didn't think of the U.S. as being a place that had good beer. And now Germans will hate me, but we're making some of the best beer in the world.
So
you know,
what you're implying is that you're going to have people from Belgium and Germany that are going to be copying you guys.
I wouldn't be that ambitious quite yet. Maybe one day. But no, I think it's just very different. It's a different way of looking at it, you know. And out there, it's a lot more about tradition and the way you've done things for a very long time. Whereas here, we're about breaking down barriers.
So you have no rules. No rules to break.
Pretty much, yeah. And there's no boundaries within the styles that craft beer is making. I mean, meads are more popular now. There's all these different things that it's not going away. People thought it was a trend, craft beer, you know, and it's not, I don't think.
And as we all know, beer is just undeveloped whiskey, ultimately.
Yeah.
And so are you thinking of going to that next level with your beers?
You know, I would like to acquire some bourbon barrels to age some beer in, and I think that that's going to be the next step for us. And those are becoming wildly popular as well, the barrel-aged stuff. So I think that would be our next step. I mean, that's more of a licensing issue. That's more of something that I don't think that we would be able to do here. For myself personally, I would love to learn more. You know, I'd like to acquire every skill I can, you know, because they are very similar processes.
Do you have a signature beer, or what do people think of when they think of your brewery?
Our beers change very often, so we don't have a set list of beers. It's kind of just...
So there's no anchor beer that you're
going to... No, we don't have one yet. We're working on a recipe for one, so hopefully that'll be something that we can have that holds us down. It's just a good... We want to make a kind of traditional style lager, but with some bite to it, a little bit more of a craft beer spin, and we'll be having that as something we always have. But everything else will just be kind of seasonal, and depending on the weather and, you know, what's in season, what you can get, and hopefully all the beers are good. You know, they're not going to be everyone's favorite, and it's very relative. This place is a staple of the city, so.
And where did you go to school again?
I went to Specs Howard first for broadcast, and that's what I was doing for a few years, and moved out to California doing that. Somehow got sucked back into the brewery scene, so kind of quit doing that as much, and I'm focused on this.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
My name is Chelsea Piner. I'm the head brewer at the Traffic Jam and Snug in Midtown Detroit.
I'm Stephen Gross. This is Traffic Jam Restaurant, 511 West Canfield, traffic-jam.com.
Stephen, thank you so much.
What a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning.
Song of good cheer, 'cause the whole gang is here. Roll it out, roll it out, let's do the beer.